Welcome to Co-op Mode, round 135. This is the official video game podcast of Secret Friends Unite. I am one of your hosts, Todd Oxtra, from beautiful Sauvage, Minnesota, fighting the good fight, learning about Canadian games, and happy to be joined with some awesome people this week, including my co-host from Parts Unknown. That's the Canadian Mark Carabin. How you doing, buddy?
Oh my goodness, I'm good. I just had a sneeze trying to get that out of the way before you introduced me. I got it out just in time, and then I told everyone about it. If you weren't listening, if you weren't watching the audio, the video version, you didn't need to know about that. But anyone watching the video version, watch me like very quickly scramble to mute my mic and catch up. So I'm happy to be here. I'm curious to learn about these Canadian games that I've never played despite living in Canada my whole life. Weird stuff.
Everybody will learn about a little Canadian custom that is a foreign to my Canadian co-host. So join in. Mark, find something real weird American that I might not know about, and that'll be a great like a social exchange. I like that. Yeah. Well, Mark is here. He's looking sharp tonight. And we are joined by a new friend that's joining the co-op couch this week. And that is Chipotle Bear, a.k.a. Jose Martinez, co-host of the Nerd Chat podcast. Jose, nice to meet you, man. Or not to meet you, but have you on the show. But actually, we just met in person. So
absolutely.
I'll stop talking.
It's great to be here, man. You know, Todd mentioned to Mark before we started, we met in the Discord over at Xbox Expansion Pass with Luke and Logan, and have gone back and forth chatting about some cool stuff. And so I was very honored when he reached out to me a couple weeks ago and was like, hey, do you want to be on? And I was like, absolutely, I would love to. So, you know, I've gamed for a long time and really kind of relatively new to the podcast space, but loving every minute of it and excited to meet more great people like yourselves and, of course, talk about all things game here, man. So thank you for having me.
Excellent. Yeah. Always love to have new voices on the podcast. My prerequisite is as long as you're having a conversation with folks, that's all required. So let's have a good time. And at this point, Mark, who makes all of this possible?
Well, I've got some amazing people to tell you about. And that is our friends over at patreon.com/secretfriendsunite, who are the ones that make all of this possible. You can go over there and get a 7-day free trial right now and join amazing people such as our friends with benefits tier, John Sadorf, the Phoenix Sisters cosplay, Brennan Myers, Matthew Keel, and Corian HD, as well as our BFF tier. That's Sean, Stella, and Henry Nias, and Missy Merchant. Thank you all for helping us out. For anyone interested, if you haven't signed up on our Patreon feed so far, go over and check that out. If you can, you get ad-free versions of all the shows, you get behind the scene, like extra stuff and some other stuff that's early. It's a whole bunch of good stuff. And again, you can get a 7-day free trial over at patreon.com/secretfriendsunite. If you can't support us over on Patreon, you don't want to throw a dollar our way, that's okay. I get it. Totally understand. Times are tough. You know what? You can also help us by just sharing the podcast. Share some links. Give us a like. Give us a subscribe. Tell a friend. Everything helps. Every single thing. So we appreciate everyone, whether you're on Patreon or not. But special shout out to those people I just mentioned that make stuff happen over on patreon.com/secretfriendsunite.
Yeah. No ads there, folks. So if you're on a regular feed, you're getting ads. If not, on your Patreon feed, you get no ads. Also, we're on YouTube Podcasts, so that's another place you can find us. So we'd love it if you just, you know, subscribe and give us a review. We'd love to hear what you think. You know, if you don't think my hair looks good tonight, let me know.
Hogwash. It looks wonderful.
Oh, thank you. But also, it was great because I had one of our Patreons on Spinnerack. Sean Nias joined me for Batman Fortress, a great comic limited series by Gary Whitta, who wrote Rogue One. So if you like things like that and breaking down comics, more to come on our Patreon. So please enjoy. Yeah. All right. Pitch is done. Now it's time to get into the fun. This week for Buy Rent Return, I had to even re-clarify before I had even gotten into the post for this Byron Return, man. Everybody was like on my case. So I did. So this week it's arcade beat 'em ups. Because before I'd said beat 'em ups. And then this is a machine at an arcade, folks. Yep. Arcades, kids, were a place you used to go. They had big stands and you fed it quarters. And they had
my son
games.
Still loves the arcade. We go all the time.
Oh,
we
that's great.
There yesterday. We spent part of Sunday just chilling at the arcade. Or sorry, no, Saturday. Sunday was a birthday party. Saturday, went to the mall, went to the arcade, did some shopping. He absolutely loved it. He actually calls the mall the place where the arcade is.
is it like a true arcade of like just video games or like the ticket games or like what kind of arcade is it?
Yeah, it's like straight up just like video games. Oh, and there are some like ticket games with like skee ball and all that kind of stuff. But there's a little bit of everything. He weirdly loves the Jurassic Park game, like the shoot the dinosaurs kind of stuff. He loves that. He loves Crossy Road and like a few others. So he's other things too, like some of the ticket games, and like air hockey. He just loves every part of the arcade. So it's they're not dead yet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Dave and Buster's is kind of keeping alive. Barcades have kind of found a new place. There's a pinball bar near me, which is sweet. Used to be called Tilt, but they almost got sued. So they go Lit Pinball Bar. They just changed the letters around. So even better. our arcades are great. I love them. They're a throwback. And that led us into the arcade beat 'em ups. And I picked three. The Simpsons arcade game. And most of these were by Konami, which is just kind of crazy. Because Konami doesn't even make video games really anymore. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first arcade game. Not the NES, not, on the SNES. This is truly at the arcade, the four joysticks. And then the X-Men arcade that you're probably familiar with if you watch the old Pride of the X-Men cartoon, because they basically modeled everything after that on those characters. So I guess before we get into our picks, we should go into, what the community said. So I'll take Edwards first on Twitter. He said, buy X-Men, rent Simpsons, return TMNT. The NES version was better, longer, and had some banging tracks.
Edward, check yourself.
Oh, no.
But the NES version was better than what? Like a kick to the balls? Like what was the NES version of Ninja Turtles better than? Come on. Dude, like you run into that seaweed stage, you're going to tell me that, like, I'll get
it to
you.
Wasn't there a TMNT arcade game on the NES, though, that was like the arcade game?
I thought it was just the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, Super Nintendo. Like, pretty sure it's the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I'm pretty sure NES was just. I could be wrong. I will admit if you correct me here, I'm pretty sure NES Ninja Turtles was just the travesty with the impossible
swimming level.
Is. Ultra Games did it. It is truly the beat 'em up. It's a little bit more ugly, but it did happen. Yes, in 1990.
Oh my goodness.
You can buy it for $1,295 sealed.
I'm going to download that illegally. I mean, totally get that for real. I have that much money waiting around to spend on an NES game. Sure, why not? Edward, I'm sorry. I came at you with a lot of heat there. I apologize. I'm going to suck that one up and just say, I mean, you're still returning it, so I still think you're wrong. But like, I'm wrong.
Seconded.
Of why you're wrong.
Yes, this one's an odd one because I really didn't even know this existed either. I thought it was just like would have been on the SNES because of the art and everything. But there is a toned down version on the NES. Yeah. So
interesting. No way. I'm watching this video right now. This is blowing my mind. Holy crap. Wow.
The more you know.
Man. Wow. The weird thing is I probably have this game because I have like every game on my RG35XX. So I just haven't stumbled across it yet in like my quest to replay every game ever made, basically. I'm going to add this one to the list and I'm going to try it out for next time.
Was it in the Cowabunga collection that came out?
It might have been.
I don't know.
Because I have that, and maybe I didn't play it enough to know that, but that's interesting. I'll check that out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hopefully we don't get stumped again. We have to fact check before we go through this. So I'll do Schloss's. Schloss Ritter says, I'd like to rent all three just to beat them once each. Well, I've beaten TMNT, but never got to play the others. By X-Men, Welcome to Die. Yep, there's a lot of famous phrases in those games. Rent Simpsons, Cowabunga, Bart. And rent Return TMNT, inferior in part to the NES port, inferior in all ways to Turtles in Time. So good. So also Schloss knew about the NES port.
Yeah,
he did. Mark?
I've been under a rock, man. I don't know what to tell you guys. You guys are all coming at me and just like smacking me around with this knowledge. You know, I'm gonna tackle Famous Seamus and just see if there's one more person teaching me a lesson. He's going to buy The Simpsons. I've heard nothing but great things about the game. So I love that, buying one that you've never played, but you've heard great things. That's a great use of the buy function here. Rent X-Men, always heard great things about this game. Plus, it has the infamous I Am Magneto, Master of Magnet, and Welcome to Die voice lines. I would upgrade it to buy if it was the arcade cabinet with the option to play with six people. Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting. And then rent TMNT. There are better TMNT beat 'em ups, including Turtles in Time and Shredder's Revenge. Hard to argue. I'm going to jump in with one more, and then one of you guys can jump in. So I got Raul from our Discord. Buy Simpsons, rent TMNT, and return X-Men. Sweet and simple, no explanations. Just bam. This is my choice.
Moving on.
One line.
Yep.
Sticking with it. Yep. Moving on. So there we go. So Raul, I appreciate the just going for it there. That's good.
Yeah. And then the winner gamer, Brendan Myers, buy Simpsons because I played it with my older brother. Run X-Men because I never played it. And return Turtles don't need the stress. So the good thing about playing it at home, I think, is just unlimited quarters, right? So, or unlimited plays. So, but at the arcade, yeah, those quarters go by fast.
Ooh, man, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, I realized, Jose, we never really asked you about your gaming background. So very quickly, what is your favorite arcade game of all time before we get into the rest of this?
Oh, you know what I'm going to say? And it's because I actually didn't even play it that much as a kid, but I wanted to so badly. And that was Mortal Kombat 2. And the only reason I couldn't is because, like, I was probably there with my mom. And even though she fully supported my love of video games, it was like in that era where like parents were like, don't let your kids play this. And of course, that just made me want to play it even more. And of course, played like 3 down the road and have been a fan ever since. So that's probably my favorite like actual arcade game. But honestly, the beat 'em ups are a close second, if not like in tied for first, like, cause that's what I wanted. I wanted to go and play with friends. I wasn't necessarily like interested in going and play by myself. So, that's probably what I would say there.
Excellent. Nice. Well, very good. Well, if you're ready to make your picks, what would you buy?
But I'm second guessing here. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. What would you rent and what would you return?
Well, originally my automatic number one was TMNT because just like, I mean, I love X-Men and I love The Simpsons and respect both properties, but like TMNT was like my childhood. It still is. Like even as a grown man, I'm collecting like the Ninja Turtles and Monsters collaboration action figures. Like it is just, I love the Ninja Turtles. So that was going to be my number one. But I think I was imagining more of the Turtles in Time arcade to beat them up. And so hearing from the people that wrote in, which I'm very grateful for the information, I think I'm actually going to put X-Men as my buy. Cause X-Men, I remember playing with friends. I remember the 90s cartoon and being so into that, all of the lore and the characters and just getting to play like that was super fun. I never wanted to play as Colossus though. Like I respect him as an X-Man. Just, I wanted to play as Wolverine or Storm or the other people. So, but I'm going to put that as my buy and I'm moving TMNT to the rent. I would have switched those, but seeing that like people are saying it was much better to do. There were better Turtles games. I'm going to put that in rent and I'm going to return The Simpsons. And I love The Simpsons and I like the arcade beat 'em up. But again, it was also one of those things. My mom was like a 32-year teacher. And so she was like really against Bart Simpson because he hated school and he was like, kiss my butt and stuff like that. And so as a kid, she like didn't let me watch it.
Don't have a cow, man.
once I could, like, it was fine. Like, I, you know, I actually, I laughed, but I didn't fall into traits of Bart or anything like that. So I just didn't get to play it as much. But I remember even wanting to play like the NES ports. And I remember playing like Bart's Nightmare on SNES and stuff like that. So like, I really enjoy the games, but I just never played this one enough because, again, I probably wasn't allowed to, but that is probably where I'd put my picks, but it's hard. I really want to put Turtles as one, but I'm, from everything I'm hearing from everyone, I trust the internet, right? The internet is undefeated. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Nice. Mark.
Copy and paste that answer, including the bit about my mom being a teacher. Weirdly, I think we just became best friends, but we like straight up, I was going to pick Ninja Turtles because not only am I a huge fan of Ninja Turtles, but also I've been playing the hell out of Shredder's Revenge with my 3-year-old and freaking love it. And he loves it. And he has all my old Ninja Turtle toys and I got him some new Ninja Turtle toys and they're all playing together. It's great stuff. So I'm in like a bit of a Ninja Turtle renaissance. We've been watching some of the cartoons and stuff like the more for kids kind of cartoons. And we'll eventually kind of, you know, keep going. So that was going to be my easy number one. But reading all this, coming to that realization that not only is the NES version a thing, but it's better. Crazy. So I am going to copy your answer completely. Buy X-Men, rent TMNT, return Simpsons. Yeah, straight up, just copy paste, thumbs up. Todd, wait, how you feeling?
You know, it's kind of sad that a lot of these games you can't even buy now. Like, I know when, like, the 360 era, I think you could buy all three. No problem. Like, they were just doing that, like, on Xbox Live Arcade. Like, you could actually buy arcade games. I don't even know where you can get them. I mean, unless you still have your old Xbox Live account on your 360. I think they're still backwards compatible on the Xbox major hardware. I think they haven't been delisted, maybe. Who knows? But I love this. And the fact that I was looking up the actual dates that these came out. TMNT Arcade came out in 1989. The Simpsons came out in 1991 and X-Men came out in 1992. It made me think of like how timely these games were with like pop culture. Because I mean, TMNT was just coming out, you know, just huge. And it was like just at the beginning of that onslaught of everything. And it was cool. And it was just right around the show and looked awesome. You know, The Simpsons. Who would have thought The Simpsons would get a cool arcade beat 'em up at their time too, incorporating all these really cool Easter eggs from old of like the Matt Groening old cartoons, like from Howl too. I love that stuff. And then the X-Men cartoon, which came out in 92, so did the video game. And it was like perfect timing. It was like every boy's dream was just coming to life. And I just love this. Mm-hmm. It was just such an awesome time. And they looked so much better than what you had at home on the NES too. So it was like, to that point, it's like, wow, this is amazing and beautiful. So let's see. I am going to buy The Simpsons because I think it's a great game. I think it's just so clever. All of the different movesets are different. The fact that, you know, what they do with it, the jokes and it fits the tone of the show so well, and I love it, and it's timeless. It really is. And some would say probably the game looked better than the show did at the time, because I think there was still kind of that early animation where it wasn't that great. You know, beating up Smithers and, you know, taking on Mr. Burns and Krusty Clown. Love that stuff. I would probably rent the X-Men because it's so close to my heart. I'm that's my favorite X-Men or Marvel team. Loved to pieces. The fact that, you know, as a kid, comic books didn't get much limelight, especially, you know, most video game things were horrible. If it came from a video game, they just weren't very good. So I love this. It was awesome. Once again, it was resurrecting the pride of the X-Men, which I loved, and these characters. Loved it. Really good intro too, if you think of like the pixel art and telling the story. Awesome.
The soundtrack is awesome too.
Yeah, absolutely. The TMNT game I really enjoyed, but I do think Turtles in Time is the better game. And obviously there's been so many more Turtles beat 'em ups that it's like there's no shortage. Whereas there's only one Simpsons beat 'em up and there's only one X-Men beat 'em up at this point, like that. So that's what I'm gonna go with. But these are great. We're gonna add a little bonus question to this one because we are seeing new versions of arcade games coming out. So there is going to be a new Turtles arcade game called Wrath of the Mutants, which is actually based on a arcade game from 2017. I think that maybe it was at Dave and Buster's. It was at a local restaurant at my house or near my house, which was a lot of fun. It's a really cool arcade game, very fun, based on like the Nickelodeon cartoon.
Cool. Like a 3D animated-ish one?
Yeah, not the one where it's kind of wackier and hand-drawn. That's coming out. And then we're also getting a new TMNT game based on the most recent movie too, but this Wrath of the Mutants is going to be basically an adaptation of the arcade game. I don't know if it's going to do anything else. Oh, it does say it's going to get 6 additional boss battles, which is really cool, and it's only $30, so that's kind of cool. I like that, the fact that we're getting that. And then there's also a new G.I. Joe arcade beat 'em up coming out, and it's called The Wrath of Cobra. It looks awesome. It looks just like the 80s cartoon. So we're kind of, I'm glad we're getting these. Cool. So my question is, hello, we got a friend visiting. So my question to you guys is, what would be your dream adaptation of one of these beat 'em up arcade games?
That's a good one, man. I mean, Turtles was always the key one growing up. Like, again, Turtles in Time, I know we've referenced that and stuff like that, but there was also a special place, I think, for these in history, because when all these came out, you said 89, 91, 92, all the systems at that time only had two controllers, right? So like the novelty that you could go a place and play with three other people as opposed to just one other, that's like, in today's world, kids are like, well, of course you could. I play with 99 other people. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you forget that, but that was a huge piece of this when we were growing up. I mean, for me, it'd be very different, but I would love to see almost like a Super Mario beat 'em up. Like, I think that would be super fun. Like where you were Mario, Luigi, Peach, Toad, a couple other things, like the Mario Kart heroes, and then you go against the baddies. Or the other thing is, my wife and I are super big into Halloween, so I would love almost like a, like, what is the classic 80s movie, where they're fighting all the classic villains? I'm blanking on the name right now.
I feel Monster like Squad?
Thank you. Monster Squad was what I was thinking, but like that kind of a beat 'em up where you're actually the monsters fighting against something else, like maybe aliens or something like that. So you could be the Wolfman, you could be Dracula. Like, I think that would be super fun.
Yeah, like Universal Monsters. That would be awesome. Kind of reminds me of, what was it, Splatter? Splatterhouse?
Yeah.
Kind of had a feel because it's side scrolling, but it definitely wasn't like where you had could play with multiple characters. I think Alien is probably Aliens versus Predator is the closest we've gotten. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, very cool. Yeah. I like that. Universal Monsters. I know they appeared in Fortnite, and I know they're trying to do the Dark Universe over at Universal. So yeah, they should do something like that. The closest we got was that WayForward game, the Mummy remastered.
So good.
Yeah, which is just crazy. So it's like good. Not a good movie. The video game is better than the movie.
Yep. Yeah, we'll take it though. It's a win.
Amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, Mark, what's your dream arcade beat 'em up?
Okay. I have a couple of different answers and I'm trying to think of like something in Star Wars, cause we haven't gotten like a good Star Wars, like beat 'em up kind of game for a while. There was a couple of good ones on like, I want to say GBA. There was like a good, Attack of the Clones maybe, or Revenge of the Sith. I can't remember which one, but it was all right. I just played it not that long ago. So like something like that, because like just going through enemies with like lightsabers and force abilities is just fun. But since it's been done, I want to try to think of something that hasn't really been done. And we're coming up on, I think, the 30th anniversary of Street Sharks. So it's kind of a Ninja Turtles knockoff, like easy cop out kind of answer. But like also I think that'd be badass for like a 30th anniversary. Like, here we go. Street Sharks are back in the arcade. Because they're re-releasing the toy line too.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I still have a couple of like my original Street Sharks at my parents' place. So I'm kind of pumped for that resurgence. I'm going to also give a modern answer, new take on some like a brand new property that I think could make an entertaining beat 'em up and like get some new people into the arcade. And that is Hazbin Hotel. I think you could have some really cool battles in hell against like cannibals, other people in hell, angels, big boss fights, you know, the bosses and stuff there. Like a lot of them written into the show, a lot of them kind of hinted at in the show that you could make up some cool side stories and other things for for specifically just for the arcade cabinet. So it wouldn't have to be like a rehash of what happened in the show. I really enjoyed the show. I thought it was great. And I think,
is that the one on Amazon Prime
up there? Yeah.
It's a musical, one. Right?
Yeah.
I haven't cartoon seen it, but I do want to see it. I'll have to check it out.
It's
very adult, not for the kids.
Sure. Do not let the kids watch it. Holy crap. It was like some of the episodes were really, really hard to watch. And, like they throw songs in there to kind of like break up things or whatever, or like, but it's still like jarringly, difficult to get through at some points. But like relevant and worthwhile. But I think we could make a very interesting arcade cabinet. So I'm going to, super throwback and also like super new, relevant in the zeitgeist TikTok kind of crowd of like, wait a second, there's a has-been arcade game. Let's go. You get like, you know, people showing up in full cosplay to the arcade. I think that'd be entertaining.
That's awesome. Todd, how about you, man?
I'm going to cheat because I have so many of mine. So the first one's a WWF style.
Ooh, okay.
Where you get four wrestlers and they're going up and they're going on a weird mission. They're just like going to beat up, like, you know, regardless of who it is, they're just going to go through, do all of the wrestling moves, but go through the level. Like they're going to take on, like, I don't know, almost like if you think of like, what is it? World Team America. What is it called?
America World Police, right?
Yeah. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to be like a secret. The WWF wrestlers are actually like a secret force, kind of like G.I. Joe, but they use wrestling moves to take out like terrorists and in the Korean army and, you know, all the despot. That's one. The other one is I want like a Adult Swim. So think of like Aqua Teen Hunger Force. You could have Rick and Morty. Frisky Dingo, SeaQuest. I mean, there's a bunch of other ones you could throw in there that I think would be ridiculous.
That'd be fun.
And then I thought, well, just go then to the Fox Animation domination with like Bob's Burgers, American Dad, Family Guy, you know, whoever else, throw them in. And so
I'd love to play as Linda, throwing songs of people. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it would be great. You know, Gene would have his keyboard and making fart noises that, yeah. It would be so good. Tina's Pony, what is it? Erotic Zombie Tales or whatever. Friends or whatever. I can't remember what it's called. But yeah, there's so many good things you could do. So I want everything to have.
Burgers game.
Oh, like, I would love a Bob's Burgers.
That's a big
game.
One right there. That's great.
Yeah, this is on its own. Like, forget the rest. Like, that's.
Oh, yeah. I mean, might as well. I mean, they make as much sense in a beat 'em up as The Simpsons do. So
yeah,
throw them out there. Cool. Okay. Well, folks, if you have ideas for your dream arcade beat-em-ups, let us know, because we love to hear it, because you know what? There's no such thing as a bad idea. And if there was, I would have mentioned mine. So so there we go. So let's get into what we've been gaming. So Jose, take it away.
So I was alluding to this to Todd before we started. So I've been a console gamer my whole life. First one was like SNES, even though like my buddy had an NES and I wanted one and didn't. And then Christmas NES. So I've been console my whole life. I've definitely like had the original Xbox, had the original PlayStation. Like I've been both my whole life. More recently, I've been more into Xbox, which is fine. I have nothing against PlayStation. It's just that was the box I chose. But as of like the last month, I built my first ever PC. Like I've never ever built a PC. And so my co-host, good friend of mine, Jason, we call him Bacon because that's his gamer tag, is huge into PC. He has been for like 6, 7, 8 years. And he's been systematically trying to get us to do it, me and our other co-host, Dan. And finally, I bit the bullet. And part of what really drove it was the whole change that we're seeing where like a lot of stuff is going day and date to PC. And I was really bummed out because I loved Xbox that I missed out on like God of War and Returnal and Final Fantasy and stuff. And so when I started hearing some of these coming to PC, I was like, okay, I maybe that's just the way I need to go so I can play all these games. Mm. And so I finally did that and I built my whole rig. I'm really happy it's sitting here right next to me. So more recently, I'm playing Remake, Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I'm almost done with it. I'm Chapter 14. I played the original Final Fantasy VII on PlayStation when it came out, the 3-disc thing. Like, it was seminal to my childhood. Like, I spent hundreds of hours, which today's world is pretty common with some games, but like as a kid in the 90s, like that just didn't happen. You didn't do that with games.
Yeah. Games didn't last that long.
No, they just no. they were 2-3 hour bangers max, and so to do that was insane. So I've been really re-enjoying the story. To be granted, I mean, I hadn't played it since it came out in what, like 96, and so I went and watched a YouTube video to like re-remember the story, and man, I forgot how convoluted that story was. Like I don't know how young me even understood it. Arguably, I probably didn't, to be fair, but I've really enjoyed seeing kind of how they changed some stuff. It makes me really excited to play Rebirth. That's obviously not available on PC yet, but soon, right? Other than that, I've been playing Balatro, which I know you guys mentioned last week with Clint when he was on the show. It was recommended to me again by a friend, and I've been playing on my Ally, and it is addicting. Like, I'm not a poker dude. I'm not really a card game guy even. And so I was kind of like, oh, it's $15. I'll support a developer. And man, it is a cool game. Like, it's also equally impressed that it was developed by one guy. And so I'm really happy that one guy's doing really well. And then other than that, just games I play with my buddy. So a lot of Warzone. And I work in education. I'm an assistant principal. And so I'm on spring break this week. So I'm looking forward to playing lots of games this week. For the first time ever, I played Fortnite, and I have just being wow. in education and like all of my students love Fortnite. I never jumped into it. And some of it I think was a little like, if my kids are playing it, I want to play something different. But at the same time, I always felt this sense of guilt of like, I should know what they're doing. Like, that's a good way to connect with kids. And I'm sure that, especially because I've just like all games, I bet I will like it. But it was also like, again, I was playing Warzone and some other games where I was just like, I don't need all these online service games. But last night my buddy was reaching out to me about his kids, because that's one of my favorite parts about this community, and even like Luke's Discord and our show and stuff, is like, we like to joke that we're middle-aged, but we're also, a lot of us are parents, a lot of us like have careers and stuff like that. And so I feel like at my job, a lot of other adults don't play games. So I don't get to talk about this there. And even in like the parenting world, like, we all want our kids to play games because we love games, but there are like weird questions that come up, that like the question last night was, what age should I let my kids start playing Fortnite? And there are lots of schools of thought. I'm certainly not an expert, so please don't like take my advice for that or to mean anything. But what we were talking about was like, he was like, the problem with my son is that I don't love the violence aspect. Like, I don't like teaching my kid like shooting a gun at someone is a good thing. But the reality is like, his friends all play it. And like, one of his neighbor friends that he spends a lot of time at his house does play it and has like no regulations at his house. And so like, we were talking like, well, here's the problem is like, if you say no, it's your house, then he's going to basically just try to go to his friends all the time and hide it from you. And like, is it better to like, maybe sit down and play with him and like have the discussion about like violence in a game is different than violence in real life. And like, it's a whole complicated thing, but nonetheless, full circle here. We decided to jump in last night together. Like, I was like, I've never played it. He had never played it. We play Warzone a lot together. So I was like, all right, well, let's check it out, man. And I kid you not, first game, I won Victory Royale. And the second game, he won Victory Royale. And I was like, that's it. I'm going to retire. I'm going out on top, undefeated. Yeah. All jokes aside, it was fun, man. So I definitely will stick it in out a little bit longer. I am bummed that I missed the Ninja Turtle packs. I would have loved to buy Donatello, but I'll find something soon, I'm sure, that I'll spend my money on. So that's what I've been playing this week, man. And again, like, looking forward to playing a lot more this week. So the Steam sale right now is insane. So don't go there if you don't want to spend money.
No, it made me laugh, because when you said, you know, you got the Royale, I'm like thinking, all of that Warzone that you've been playing has prepared you for all the people really that don't play Warzone in Fortnite. And it's like, daddy's coming home. And, you know, yeah.
I feel like I was like, just destroy these like 12-year-olds who are crying. I was like, I feel a little mad that it's just happening like this.
I've come through the horror story of Warzone. Now I'm into wreaking havoc on all of you.
Usually I'm at the bottom of the list,
PTSD. Like, yeah.
So
that's awesome. I was going to mention, I'm Balatro. I'm playing it too. And the funny part is, I didn't realize this, but Balatro or Balatro, it actually stands for Joker. I didn't know that. And I think Germany.
Either.
Exactly. So it kind of makes total sense, because it's a game of Jokers. So yeah. I played it on the PS Plus, had a trial for an hour, because there was a demo on Steam, but it went away, and it's $15. I'm like, and I've heard a mobile version is coming out, which would be perfect for that game for me, because it's just a card game, but it's really a roguelite poker game where you can bank jokers that you buy or other type of modifiers, and they carry with you, and then you can sell those jokers, get different jokers, and really it's you get so many cards, you get so many drops per round, and then you have to be very careful what you buy. But basically, you start again once you don't hit your the big blind.
Small blind,
Yep. And you can skip. You don't have to go through the beginning. You can skip and get to the higher number, but it always helps to get as many jokers as you can to go through. But that's an interesting game, and it's already sold a million copies, which to me, that's impressive. It's on Switch. It's on all the other consoles, but apparently it's being blocked in some regions because it uses like gambling terminology. But I'm like, aren't there other poker games already?
Like poker? Like just
poker? like there was a Poker Clash game on Xbox 360, I remember. And yeah, it's weird, but it's a very fun game. And it kind of reminds me of Inscripted in regards to some of the creepiness of the Joker. And they kind of talk to you. but it's a cool game. It's a cool game. Yeah.
It's cool. Have you finished a full run? Have you completed a run yet?
Not yet. My trial ran out as I was playing and I kept on hitting the discard button when I was putting cards up to play them, and I hit discard I screwed myself many times. Yeah, but it's fun. Yeah, I think it's if you're not like you want to give something a try, there's a trial out there. But like I said, I think this is perfect for mobile. So when it's there, even on Switch, I don't have my Switch with me all the time. So for me, on my toilet time, even though people said you'll be playing for an hour, I'm like, if I have to sit on my toilet for an hour and play this game, that's okay.
It's peaceful.
Where else am I going to go? As Mark knows, I don't want to drop my toilet, my Switch in the toilet. So I'm perfectly fine with my phone.
I don't want to do that.
No. Yeah. No.
Of course.
So Mark, you've got a new person that's talking about Fortnite. Do you want to talk about Fortnite?
I do. Yeah, I totally do. And you perfectly brought up when to introduce kids to Fortnite, because like I said, I have a 3-year-old. He'll be 4 in May, and he has been getting into video games and slowly kind of like introducing him to kiddie games. So like I got Yoshi for him, like the whatever one on Switch, Crafted World or whatever it is. He's been playing through some of the Kirby games on both the Switch and the 3DS, of course, with 3D off, but like Kirby's Epic Yarn, that kind of stuff, Planet Robobot. And he's loving those simple games. We played through the Mario games together. But he saw Fortnite. He saw me just kind of log in to check something in the store and was just kind of like, what's this? And I try not to play violent games around him.
Yep.
So I don't game much while he's around, but he was very intrigued by the colorful characters in Fortnite. Again, he saw the Ninja Turtles because I instantly bought all 4 as soon as they hit the shop. And he was like, hey, is that a Ninja Turtle? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, but it's hard to explain.
And then he loves the dances. So like there's a Lady Gaga dance in the shop right now. And the second like I was scrolling through the shop and I landed on that, and he just like perked up instantly and just started like copying the dance moves and like going crazy. So every time I put that song on now, he's just doing like the straight up dance from Fortnite, and it's amazing. So he asked me over the weekend, he asked, can we play Fortnite? At first I was just like, no, let's play something else. Let's play. And he kind of kept asking and kept at it. And I talked to my wife. I was like, okay, there's no blood. He knows like pew pews. He picked up like a glass, like a plastic cup the other day, and was just running around going, this is my pew pew. Let's go get the bad guys. And I was just like, oh, what? Okay. So I don't know, like, you know, daycare or something, like someone's introducing him to like the pew pews or whatever. My brother and I have Nerf guns at my parents' place. When he's over there, he instantly knows where they are. He just goes for them. It was in storage, whatever. So I was like, there's no like blood, whatever, you know, violence, of course, from like shooting and whatever. But like, he also didn't really, he wasn't interested in that part at all. I finally decide, I was like, okay, I'm going to sit next to him. I'm going to see if I can take the controller to keep him alive, but let him do what he wants. He wanted to dance, and he wanted to wreck buildings as Leonardo and hit the buildings with his swords.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So we landed. He destroyed a couple of buildings. anytime someone would come, I'd say, hey, buddy, there's someone sneaking up on you. He'd throw me the controller. I'd take the person out. My first victory royale of this season was the match that Finn and I played. I cannot believe that I kept him alive for that long, but also we like eked out the win at the very end. It was just insane. And we both went nuts and did the Lady Gaga dance at the end. So it was a good time.
You earned it, buddy. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're Todd. You're muted.
What about the Lego Fortnite, Mark? Would that be?
He was not interested. I tried that one because I was like, because we were going through and I was showing him the Lego version. Yeah. He's like, I like the Lego Ninja Turtles. I like that. Showing him the Lego version. He was like, mm-mm, not interested whatsoever. He hit a sheep with Leonardo's sword. Again, he wanted to be the Ninja Turtles. He chased after a sheep and he was just like, is there anything else here?
Yeah, that is
like, not really. Okay. You can just, do you want to fly around? We can fly. We can build buildings. He's like, no, I don't want to do this. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, he's zero interest. He wanted the real versions of whatever else. And he just liked wrecking real buildings, not Lego buildings. I don't know. He knows what he wants, but, he hasn't asked me to play Fortnite since. Didn't mention it today. I don't know if he got it out of his system, if it wasn't his cup of tea and he was just humoring me playing it yesterday through to the end. But I'm happy that victory umbrella for this season is going to be like, that's the one I got with a 3-year-old wrecking buildings the whole time. And me just grabbing the controller at the end being like, oh God, there's two people coming at us. It was a miraculous victory for sure.
Yeah, they grow up so quick. I would say don't rush it. They'll get into it. My son is 18 now, so there's always time. Let them play the fun games that are good at their age. They'll find their way. Merc, maybe get Just Dance. Do you have Just Dance already or no?
I don't. No. We might have an older version of Just Dance. I'm going to have to see.
I think he'd love it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a distinct possibility that he's going to like Just Dance. I'm going to have to that's a good call. I'm going to have to
dance party at the Carabins this weekend.
That's it, man. He loves it. He loves dancing, loves singing. So, if I can, Just Dance might be a good one. I'm going to have to look into that. I think my wife has one of them. So, I'm going to check her Switch and we'll see. We'll get back if we have some dance parties. The only other game I've been playing, like I said, I did kind of play some Yoshi and I've been playing some stuff with him. But the only game I played for me is Ubisoft. Our friends at Ubisoft Canada sent me over a copy of Skull and Bones. I love pirates. I have like my pirate Jedi character that I do over on like Instagram and TikTok and whatever else. It's like pirates are my jam. I love Assassin's Creed Black Flag. Which, you know, this game kind of has its roots in, and I was super happy to play it. Super happy to finally kind of like dig in and actually play a bit. And it's been tough playing this game. It's been a very difficult one to gauge my interest in. Even watching trailers and stuff, I think I've been trying to decide if I'm judging this game too harshly or if it deserves that kind of thing. So I'll explain why. So like I said, the game's kind of based off of the naval battling from Assassin's Creed Black Flag. So Assassin's Creed games, you know, you usually go around and then there's extra bits in this game and in a couple of others where you can go and control a ship and do stuff. But that's kind of like an extra bonus in those games. It's not, you know, the main Assassin's Creed storyline of like, you know, stabby, stabby, jumpy, jumpy. So basing a full game around that is cool, but also, you know, you have to wrap your head around that you're not getting an Assassin's Creed game with it. You know, like that's the game, right? So you have to go in. And the way I've been trying to think about it is you can have like a GTA game that has a great story and some cool action. And like, yeah, driving is part of that. And racing could be like part of that game, but you can also enjoy a racing game. So I've been trying to enjoy this as I would enjoy a racing game and not compare it to the full game with a full open world kind of thing. And I've been enjoying it a lot more because of that, just enjoying it for what it is, enjoying it for this is a racing game. This is a specific type of game that's not an open world, all-encompassing, action adventure where you can also do this thing. You know, they chose to focus down on it. And sometimes that's great. Sometimes I can really enjoy the game for that. And it's really cool. I love ship battle. I love Sea of Thieves. I loved that kind of thing in Black Flag. And this adds to that, you know, it keeps going with that. There's reminds me sometimes of like different MMOs like World of Warcraft or something like that, where you can see other people in the world and you're all going for the same quest and you kind of go out. I helped one guy take out a shark early on that was like attacking his ship, and I was just like, not on my watch. Pacha! And I kept going. It was like, you know, so it's like that kind of stuff that happens in a live world kind of game, shared world, that you definitely didn't get in Assassin's Creed or anything like that. So I'm really trying to enjoy this game for what it is and not miss what it isn't, if that makes sense. But it's been tough, man. It's been a weird one. But every time that I feel myself being like, damn it, where's Edward? I want to go stab that guy in the face, but I have to shoot him with a cannonball. I just have to remind myself that it's a racing game. It is not a GTA game. And when I do that, I enjoy the hell out of it. But I understand why people can't separate it, because it looks so much like those naval battles from Black Flag. If they chose a different art style for this, it could have worked. But again, then you'd be, you know, if you went too cartoony, you're starting to compare it to Sea of Thieves. It's really, really tough. I do not envy the teams that worked on this, because they – you know, they kind of like, I think they were fighting a losing battle for some of these criticisms when they just wanted to make a cool racing game, and just let them make a cool damn racing game, you know, like that's it. So I got to keep reminding myself, and I got to keep looking at it like that. And just, you know, and enjoying it for what it is. So if any of that sounds appealing to you, if you can separate the racing game from the GTA, check this out. It's already going on sale. The reviews have been, I'll say, harsh. And I think, again, you know, I'm still fairly early on in this game, so it may get super repetitive. I don't know. I've read some of the reviews. I try not to read reviews of games that I'm also going to be playing and reviewing and that kind of stuff. But I've perused like through the scores and kind of general gist of what people are saying. But so far, like it's beautiful. Like the sailing, like, but again, up close, it kind of doesn't look great. Like of like, you know, people details and some of the things like onshore when you're going to get a mission. But I've been enjoying it for what I sat in my living room the other night, and I had a glass of rum, and I put my pirate hat on, and I sailed around the seven seas.
And you're saying a sea shanty,
a method actor. I love
it. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I was like, the full on Weller man, humming the whole time. I actually did. I'm not even going to lie about that. I was like, my wife came out. She was like, what are you doing? I was like, just let
don't
me
don't worry
do
about it.
That's it.
Have you seen Dodgeball? That was Merc playing the pirate in Dodgeball.
Yes. That's it. 100%. So I've been enjoying this for what it is. I'm going to keep playing with it. I'm going to keep trying, keep enjoying it. So, that's got to say something, because, you know, if I'm returning to a game after playing it, that's always a good sign for me. So I'm going to stick with it for a bit.
It's kind of crazy. I was looking at the history of this game. They started working on it in 2013. It was supposed to come out in 2018. And then I believe it was Ubisoft Shanghai. They believe there was a deal where they had agreement to get it funded by the country. So there was agreement to keep going with this game. And it's a shame that, you know, it has carried so much baggage that people have already prejudged it. It was in betas all the time. But I would say this. Ubisoft Plus is now on Xbox. It's also on PC for like $17. You can play all of their games for a month. try it.
Yep.
See what you think. You know, try also play Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, folks. Please, that game needs to do well. So play that, play this, and, you know, get your money's worth for a month. And then drop it or play again for another month. And, you know, for $35, you can play two of the newest games and have a good time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, myself, I already talked to Blatro, so check that out. I think it's a cool game, especially if you're into card games.
Yep. Yeah.
Everybody likes cards. Everybody likes poker. It's fun. A game that I had heard about that seemed really interesting. I heard about it actually on GameScoop, and it was a game called Eternal Castle. This is on a Steam sale, so I actually bought it there. It was like $8. And Eternal Castle is such a weird game because I don't know if this is a lie or not, but they said it's actually a remaster of an old game. I couldn't find this original old game anywhere. So I think it's a lie that they just made up to make it seem like this is a sequel or something, or a remaster, because it's essentially like a demastered Prince of Persia. So it has like that rotoscoping like animation, which is really cool. I like it. But it looks more like it's old Commodore 64 game or a television game. Very limited use of color. So it's a lot of like neon blacks and things like that. A lot of lack of color. And it kind of reminds me of even like Out of This World, if you remember that game on like the SNES.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. But it's like very limited details. But the animation feels modern because it does feel like fluid. They're doing like motions that you didn't think they like. When he falls, he kind of shakes himself off or does this. But it's the movement is a little bit erratic at times. It's not like a precision. It basically starts off that you're on this spaceship and you get shot down and you fall on a planet. And it's neat because it's got limited art, but it does so much with the art. It's very endearing. The sound is amazing. The vibration is excellent, and the use of light and like lighting and color in a very minimalistic aspect is cool. It's also on the Switch, I believe. I think that's only on PC and Switch, which is perfect because it doesn't demand a lot, but it's neat. And it's very much a elements of survival because you don't get a lot of ammo. You do get like weapons, and you kind of have to feel it. Also, I felt like what's the game by the guys who did Limbo? Kind of reminds me of Limbo,
yeah.
Where you die badly and it's horrible. And it's neat though. I really liked it, and I want to play more. But I got into like a puzzle where you've got like these. You've got to get four characters in a specific order to do something. And while I'm trying to do that, this behemoth of a creature that I can't kill keeps coming for me. So I have to basically run and roll past him, get him really far away, then run all the way back, try a couple codes. Oh, crap, I can hear him coming. I'm like, oh, my God. It's like Mr. X from Resident Evil 2. Yeah, it kind of reminds you of that. So it's like, oh, no. So I run again, come back, and I keep dying. But it's got like checkpoints, which are very nice, which is cool, but limited ammo. I don't know where it's going. And you can basically choose on the map to go back to your ship. But you have to repair your ship. That's the whole thing. It's kind of like Metroid, where you have to find pieces of your ship and repair it. So you have to go to different areas. So I like it. It does so much with so little that it's really impressive. I really appreciate what they've been able to do. It's a very fun game, and $8. I mean, I'm like, yeah, I'll give it a try finally. It's been on my wish list forever. That's what's great about Steam sales. Make a long wish list, see what's on sale, get it, and go. So Eternal Castle, check it out.
It reminds me of the was it Dark Void Zero? DSi
kind of game. A demastered
but it was like that. The whole thing about that game was it was an April Fool's joke that they actually ended up making, and then they were like, we found this in the Capcom vault, and it was all bullshit. They just built that game for fun and then released it on the DSi. But I love that kind of stuff where they're like, yeah, do you believe it? Maybe not, who cares, it's fun, just play this game. That's great. I think that game's also on PS5. I was just looking it up. It says PS5, Nintendo Switch, PC, Mac. So try it out everywhere except Xbox.
That's so weird. I didn't even know it was on PlayStation, but I'm like, I'll just get it on Steam or I'll get that from there. So it's really cool. And it's a little disturbing too, because there's like some elements where it'll get a question mark and you read what it says and it's kind of creepy. I'm like, I don't know where this is going. and it's sci-fi, but it's in like a castle, and it's very interesting. I really respect what they've done. So definitely check out at least a YouTube video of it, because I think that will give it all away to say if this is you or not, because it's not going to be for a lot of people. But I like that aesthetic, especially being a kid of the Commodore 64. 128 was my first real video game system I ever owned, because it was before I got my NES. So it was my entryway into video games. So check it out. Then I played the Princess Peach demo. It's like a complete opposite, like, you know, not dark, not minimalistic at all. Very cute and cuddly. And this game, there's a demo out right now. So if you want to check it out before you buy, which I appreciate Nintendo does, they did it with Kirby. They've done with a few other games too. They did it with Pikmin 4, I think, as well. And yeah. This game is definitely, it's kind of taking that school of Kirby where it's super easy. I just don't know if it will have layers of difficulty. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it will. It doesn't feel like it's meant that way. It feels like it's definitely more like mini games tied into like an overall aesthetic of, you know, if you don't know anything about this game, Princess Peach, she goes to the theater. When she goes to the theater with her little friends, essentially a bad guy comes through, kind of like in Kirby, where he eventually locks down the theater, and essentially Peach has to save the day with her little friends. And every theater part has her giving her powers. So essentially she can become, like, the first level you play as like a swordsman. So you become Sword Peach, and you go and you can kill all of these characters. And the whole point is you've got to get enough elements of the board to get to the next level. You can get coins and things like that. None of it was a challenge whatsoever. So I think Finn would love this. Kids are great. It's obviously one of the few times that we do have a female protagonist in the Mario universe. I don't know, though, if they really decided to like add difficulty or not. There's going to be one where she's a baker. That feels more like a mini game as well. I didn't get the feeling like you'll get like these powers where you can use them like Kirby, where if you just get the thing, you can use it any time. That's what I like about Kirby, because like, do I want to be the swordsman? Yeah, this seems to be set where it's specific to that. It reminds me a little bit of Klonoa, if you remember Klonoa, basically, where it's kind of like that kind of pseudo 3D, where it kind of goes around, so there's a little bit of that. And Logan, my son Logan made a joke that this is like Balan Wonderworld, but done with a little bit more quality, because it was like you get one power at a time, there's a lot of dancing. Yeah, and even the main bad guy looks like the main bad guy. So it's not for me, but it is cute. It's got a lot of charm. And that's fine. And I don't know, this might be one kid's first Nintendo game they love.
I'm very curious who this game is for, because it's not, you mentioned Finn might enjoy it. We played the demo. He didn't. He got frustrated with it, because he's used to being able to play Kirby games and play those games on his own. Play Mario, play Kirby, like whatever he's been playing, he's been mostly playing on his own, aside from Fortnite. For this game, he could play through most of the stage. But then at the end, at the bosses, there are these weird little timed quick time events that you have to time a dodge or a jump, and it triggers a slow motion thing, and you go through with the sword slash or whatever it is. There are no on-screen prompts to tell you all when to do this. You really have to do it. There's no, like, usually in these, whether it's a Mario Party or, you know, one of those games, there's a giant press the A button, and my kid knows where the A button is. For this, there's nothing. So whether they add that to the final game, I really hope they do, because this game is almost really accessible as someone's first kind of like mini game, mashup, action, different kind of game, whatever. Finn got so frustrated not knowing that he just had to press the jump button when the boss was triggering this event. So to him, it was like his Dark Souls. He wasn't sure what the hell to do at any point. The thing's coming at him. He doesn't know how to dodge fast enough. He's like pressing the slash button because he knows that that's the sword button, but he's not realizing that like The Boss takes a little bit more nuance and very specifically timed nuance. And, you know, it's just, for me, it was like, I'm guessing this is a slightly older kid that doesn't mind most of the levels being super dumbed down and then slightly more ramping up the challenge for the boss fights. I found it a really weird balance. I played through it myself to try to help him and like see if I could explain it to him. And it was just like, there needs to be an accessibility option or like a like kid friendly, like throw the button prompt. Cause even my wife was like, what the hell do I do here? I'm trying to help him. I'm like, oh, you just dodge it like this. She's like, where was that in the cake mini game? She completely missed, cause it's kind of tucked up in the corner, the blueprint of how you're supposed to decorate the cakes. She was focused on the cake and trying to figure out, like, she just thought, have fun and make the best icing design and whatever. But there's like a very specific pattern you have to do, but it's kind of like just tucked up in a corner where you wouldn't, she didn't see it. Finn didn't see it. I was just like, oh, it's up there and follow along that pattern. But like, it wasn't, I don't know. They're making some of these things just, to me and my family, not clear enough to make it accessible to kids who would be interested in the aesthetic and most of the difficulty level of the rest of the game.
Is it as difficult or less difficult or more difficult than like Luigi's Mansion? Have you ever played that?
Less than that. It's okay. Far I'm less.
Say more. Because
Oh, really?
Luigi's Mansion, again, something that Finn has been able to pick up and play, has the button prompts. When you grab a ghost, it says mash A. So the kid sees mash A up on the screen and starts mashing A and can eventually grab a ghost and suck it up. And he's like, hey, I caught a ghost. And he's very happy with himself. This does not have the mash A button. Because of that, for someone who can't read and can't understand those prompts, more difficult. For most people, you say like an 8-year-old or something like that, probably less difficult. Yep. I think Todd's right. After a certain age gap.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I would say the mechanics of Luigi's Mansion, because you have to manage like where you're pointing and doing that. But I think from a point of like intuition, if you're like new to video games, like this is so video games. And if you're not familiar with it, like, oh, it's a QuickTime event. And it's like, what the hell's a QuickTime event? Well, I've been playing it since Resident Evil 4. And I know I got to do something when a thing's happened. Yeah, so that's an interesting interpretation. It's like, that's weird that they wouldn't overkill you on push A, like biggest button in the world, do that, you know?
Yeah. And like I'm so used to like Mario Party games where it's like you get to practice beforehand. Are you done practicing? Cool. Good job. You're going to win this. We believe in you. Nothing in this.
Or they forgive you, or like you missed it. Okay, let's try it again and give it another try.
Yeah. Kill you right away.
Exactly.
We're gonna slow it down more next time or something. Like it's just
exactly. Or you miss it so many times it does it for you, or it does something simple, so it's like you don't feel like you're beaten. Yeah. I was looking, and basically Nintendo's been very sketchy about who's actually developed this game, but apparently it's Goodfield Games, and they've got a good pedigree. They did Wario Land Shake It, they did Kirby's Epic Yarn. They did Mario and Luigi Dream Team, Yoshi's Woolly World, Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World, Kirby's Epic Yarn, Extra Epic Yarn, and Yoshi's Crafty World. So they've got a good, they do make games that are good for all ages. So it just seemed this game doesn't have as much depth. It's a little bit more like we're giving you a lot of variety, like a Mario Party, but the depth doesn't feel there like it would like in a Kirby game where you're like, oh, this is going to be difficult, because Kirby games get really difficult if you want them to be. So it's interesting. And this
that
is one of
another
Nintendo's
thing is we played Kirby together. So for any of those things, I could jump in as Waddle Dee and hit things with a spear. I can't do that in this game. No. So he's on his own trying to figure out these QuickTime events. Where in Kirby, he could just kind of float away while I kick the crap out of some boss. So that may be adding to my like displeasure with this demo as well. Is it just like frustrated my child? But great pedigree from that studio, man. I hope he is interested. I do have to say he's interested in the different suits. He wants to explore the theater and do that kind of stuff. So I might end up picking up this game and just working through the frustration.
I did see vouchers are still available to buy. which I didn't realize they were. So very cool. If you want to do that, it's a great way to get games on in deals. And like in the US, and I market, and I don't know if Costco in Canada does this, but sometimes they will have the Nintendo gift cards on sale. So I, what I'll
Walmart just did. Yeah. It was like 50 bucks off $100. Yeah.
Exactly. Decent. So what, that's what I did when I got like, I bought $80 worth of gift cards. I bought the voucher. Well, $100 for $80. Bought the $100, bought the vouchers, and it ended up, I ended up getting two games for like $40 each, which is a steal.
Awesome.
Yeah. Pro tip. Well, very, very cool. Just to let you know that Nintendo does have two other games coming out this year. They do have that we know of at this point. We have Luigi's Mansion HD coming out in June. Once again, spooky June. And we also have Mario, Paper Mario, Thousand Year Door. Thousand Year Door coming out in May. So that's their calendar. Right now, we're finding out a lot of companies are not telling us what they've got coming out past June, which is funny, but there we go. So with that, before we get into the bonus round, please pay attention to this awesome ad that I'll be saying to you right now. Hey, Secret Friends Unite, let me tell you about Zencastr. We use them for our show, and now they're supporting us. Zencastr is now the all-in-one solution making podcasting easy. It's the ultimate web-based podcasting solution. It provides high-quality audio and video podcast production and hosting. With a full suite of professional tools, podcasters can seamlessly record, produce, and publish studio-quality content, all from one dashboard. Being a creator has never been easier. And we chose Zencastr because of the ease of use, high quality output, and it makes it super easy for our guests to come on. We had multiple solutions we tried before, and Zencastr has just been the best fit for us. Why Zencastr? It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sounds and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with the click of a button. So if you're interested in making an easy, high-quality podcast just with the click of a browser button, go to Zencastr.com/pricing and use my code SFU1. You'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. Now back to the show. It's time for the bonus round, and we're going to be looking at this generation. We're 4 years in. We launched in 2020. Kind of amazing that amid the COVID, you know, world where everything was kind of unknown. I think the vaccine was finally, you know, in the viewpoint of us that was going to come out, and we were still going to get new systems. Kind of amazes me that that even happened. The Xbox Series S and X and the PlayStation 5 digital and disc-based systems launched in November. I became console claws because I was able to nab 4 PlayStation 5s for friends, which was great. I got one and I got them for other friends. So I was happy to do that because it was very difficult. Didn't do anything. I did not get an Xbox Series X console at launch. What about you, gentlemen? Did you get systems at launch?
Go ahead, Mark.
Series X.
Same Series X. I remember the day, like was I still teaching? I don't know if I was teaching or not still, but I was in a classroom with kids and like my buddy texted me like, they're on Amazon right now. And so I was like on my phone ordering that and having a conversation with a child. I remember very distinctly, I got a Series X.
Be quiet. I'm trying to get a console, kid.
Be quiet. See if you get on Amazon, attention. Get one for me.
Screw those kids.
I love that. Man, that's amazing.
It's a moment from Abbott Elementary right there.
It is exactly that.
Oh, It is. So, yeah. And I remember how excited people were because they're like, oh, this is the generation that's going to get it right. We're going to have all these features. And I just really want to hit kind of like some of the high points of this generation. The tech that was promised was SSD for fast loading times. On PlayStation was Tempest Audio. So that was going to be like 3D audio, where Mark blank on his name, creator of PlayStation, basically, he was going to Mark Cerny, yes, the creator of NAC. He was going to look at your ears and scan your ears to give you positional 3D. Sound,
right, yeah.
Yep. DualSense was bringing haptic feedback, a speaker to your PlayStation controller. The other haptic feedback plus the impulse triggers or whatever they're called them. Add-on disk drives became a thing this generation, which was weird. Like you could snap in or snap off disk drives, which I thought was very weird. And then Xbox brought back memory cards in a way, which is weird.
Yeah.
Wow. So weird. Yeah. But basically easy storage add-on, kind of like going back to the original Xbox 360, where you could just drop in hard drives, boop, and you've got like, you know, the little extra brain space to put inside. Yeah. I mean, did I miss anything else with tech that this generation has brought?
What side of tech? Because I mean, then you can get into the internal tech side, like ray tracing, 4K.
Sure, you know, yeah, that, you could even talk about technology. Yeah,
so like,
yeah,
you know, you go the ray tracing route was kind of a big push. Faster loading. I guess that's covered technically in the SSD and all that kind of stuff. But I always said this was a generation of convenience rather than necessity. This was taking everything from the PS4, Xbox One era and just saying, you want it faster? Here's some SSDs. You want it to look a little bit better? Here's some ray tracing and some stuff. But like the games were already in 4K. So where are you going to go? You're just going to make them run smoother, run better, run faster, and look a tiny little bit prettier while doing so. And you see that in the tech upgrades. It's like, yeah, we're going to do some cool stuff with audio, I guess. I don't know. Like we'll have a new controller. You don't get like crazy controller features unless you're Nintendo, but like you don't get crazy controller features unless the generation kind of needs a little bit of extra excitement. And PlayStation went that route and Xbox kind of went like, you can build your own controllers under Design Lab, but also here's Game Pass. So like it was, you know, like they both had like some kind of flashy thing to be like, here's what's cool. And you know, but I definitely think this was more of a convenience drive. Cause like everyone remembers the long ass, like load times, download this, whatever from Xbox One and PlayStation 4. So this kind of generation was trying to get rid of that.
Yeah, 4K Ultra HD, they also had that, like discs, but discs are essentially becoming just a thing to put in your console that says you own the game.
Yeah, I give you a code.
You're still installing it. And to that point, it's the HDMI 2.1 generation where you do get VRR, you get 4K 120, you get all these extra features if your TV supports it. And quite honestly, we're kind of that mode. Jose, you know, when you think about this tech, has it really lived up to the hype considering, you know, we thought everything was going to be 4K 60, maybe 4K 120?
Yeah. I could be wrong. And it feels like so long ago at this point. I feel like at some point, even with the Xbox, there was like it could even potentially run 8K. Like I remember that claim somewhere.
Sony put it on the box, 8K. Yeah.
And I was like, but who has an 8K TV? Because I would like them as my friend. And two, like to answer your question, I have two answers. One is that I absolutely do not think that it has lived up to the hype that it was for. Like I truly, and I mean that I should clarify, my personal answer is it's fine. I've loved this generation. I have very few complaints about this generation. I've been very happy with my purchase, even though I was a day one purchase. And like the story I just told you, where I was like doing it at work and stuff like that. Personally, I've been perfectly happy, but in retrospect, really thinking about what they kind of promised and what we've really seen, I don't think it has really delivered in a way that we'd seen in previous generations. And my personal belief for the reason is the games. And I know we're going to talk about that in a second here, in that I think both Sony and Microsoft were in this weird place where they felt like they had to do another generation. Like it had just been too far out from the PS4 and the Xbox One generation that they're like, we got to do something new. And they weren't even sure where they were going to take their business. And I what I mean by that is I think Xbox was dabbling based on what we're seeing now in like, maybe we should focus on mobile. Maybe we should focus on, you know, internet-based gaming, streaming gaming, which at the time probably sounded crazy, right? Because you think about like Google Stadia and how like that was kind of a big failure.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm sure there were all these things of like, they were like, this, I think that's the future, but are you sure? Because if we go that way and it's a flop, like we could be done. And especially coming off the PS4 era, which PS4 just dominated the previous era. And then I think even PS4, they were kind of like, we're going to just keep doing what we're doing. And I'm sure they had people in their boardroom saying like, we need to change. We need to grow with the times. We need multiplayer games. We need live service games. And we've seen some elements of that where they said, we're going to have 10 live service games in the next 20 years. And now they've fully backed off of that. So I think that I don't think they've delivered in the way they intended, but I don't think it was because they were lying to us. I don't think that I think they just didn't actually know where they were going. And this was kind of a weird stopgap. And I also think it's also this, the function of we've gotten to this cycle of like, we expect a new console every X number of years. And if that didn't happen, people would be, you know, naysaying and doomsaying everything that's happening in the industry. And so in a weird way, it's our problem. Like we did this as the consumers. So that's, you know, it's interesting to see as we get into this mid-gen refresh stuff, what that will do to the market, if anything. Cause like I said, I went to PC and I don't know if I'm going to buy the next Xbox. Like I kind of think I still will because not all the games are there yet on PC, but like, give it a generation or two. And if everything is day and date on PC on both sides, I don't know if I'd buy another console at that point. We'll see.
I wanted to add something about this too, because this generation is unique in the fact that each of the console owners launched with digital only solutions. Mm-hmm. Series S, no disc. PS5 for $400 only lacks a disc drive. Yeah. Series S was the entryway that essentially says you're not going to get 4K, but you get everything else.
Yeah. You get close.
It's going to be a digital focused console, which is funny because I think the folks who typically go cheap want to buy used games at GameStop. And so it's like, oh no, you have to download everything you own. You can't trade those in. So it's an interesting mindset. It's almost like, you know, the Wii 60 area where you want a Wii and a 360 because you want that game and that you want a system that pairs and they have the arcade system. Those $200 was like, hey, here's the game. You just put it in, you play. So that was something that was interesting because the Series S also launched a different, hardware set in regards to features, in regards to, you know, couldn't do 4K, although some games they could up-res to the thing, but it was at a lower, you know, set of features because the Series X was the granddaddy, the highest performing of the consoles. So that was an interesting thing with generation. The other thing that was interesting about this generation, we can go into services now, is they both launched with full backwards compatibility. The Xbox One generation didn't until like 3 years in. They said, ever going backwards. So this is the first time where you felt like you didn't have a lack of games to play because all the games you already owned, you could just keep playing.
Put them back in, yeah.
Exactly. So you kind of felt like, oh, I got games at home now. I don't need to have these games. So it was a different approach. You weren't starting from scratch. If your games were carrying forward to you. And I know that was a fear for PlayStation at one, you know, when they were talking about it, because they're like, oh crap, it's going to be like half the games or it's going to be this. And it's essentially been a wash and everything's been pretty good. So that's kind of nice, but it's different. It's kind of like PC. If you've got a PC from 2003 and you had a Steam library, your games just still work. And consoles are like that, and Nintendo did that for a while because, you know, that would be like the last gen would always work. You know, GameCube would work on the Wii and going forward. So Nintendo carried that forward and they stopped with Switch. So it's kind of interesting how we're going with this. So it feels like less of a launch because it feels like a lot of the games, we also kind of came into the Xbox said Xbox One, the first 2 years of the Xbox series, those games will probably already work on Xbox One. PlayStation said, we believe in generations. until the games are coming out slower. We can't sell enough copies because we don't have enough consoles coming out because everybody's buying them up. So we need to sell more copies. So guess what? They're going to be cross-gen too. So that's the conundrum, right? Because it's like, well, you could be brave and stick to your guns and only sell like a million copies.
Yeah.
Or you could sell more copies and, you know, hey, more bells and whistles on the next gen. So want a quick hit on the services. So the big thing we got on Xbox was Quick Resume. That was a big win. Yeah. To basically saying up to three, I think it was up to three games. Was it that would save your space, your spot? Your
progress, exactly.
Yeah. I think it was up to three. Was it that right? Three or four?
I think it depended on the game because there were some that were bigger that wouldn't – like if you had a huge game and a small game, it really wouldn't hit that third one. Like they said it would, but in practice, I don't think it
– it was RAM because it was limited by your RAM, right? Yeah, I mean it was storing that in the SSD and the RAM. And I believe live service games because those games just by nature, you're offline for long. It kicks you out anyways. Yeah. But that was a cool feature because PlayStation at this point still has it. You can put your game on rest. But that's the only game you got. So if you want to play something else, oopsie. We also had backwards compatibility. And then the other part that was interesting, Xbox Gold Live finally died.
Finally went home.
We got Xbox Game Pass Core, which is a conundrum because you don't get Game Pass, but you do get online plus a collection of games.
Yeah.
And it's $60. So and anybody wants the hack on that? Buy that, let your Game Pass Ultimate subscription lapse, resubscribe, and buy Game Pass Core for a couple of years. It converts, and you get 2 years for every whatever. So Todd hack on that if you want to do it. And then we got PlayStation Plus relaunched. Not a great way. They raised prices. They added three levels that essentially – the third level that's most expensive was the least requested. So we have like the PS Plus as you always got it. It went from 60 to 80. Didn't give you anything more, but gave you a couple games every month plus online. It gave you then, I believe it kind of gave you the second tier was premium. I think it's premium plus extra. I can't remember. There's extra and plus. So one of them, I think it's extra, gives you like kind of like a really good selection of, you know, more modern games. It's pretty good. I think that's enough for most people. And then the tier above that is streaming games, a collection of them, not all of them, plus kind of like the old classics backwards collection.
Catalog, yeah.
Yeah, but those are so limited that it has not been the value. So I would always say to people, go extra and max it out, and that's it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at. And I know Xbox finally raised prices on Game Pass Ultimate, except on PC. PC Game Pass, they kept prices the same. Yep. So what do you think on services? I feel like we've paid more and really haven't gotten more out of these services. It's kind of been the same carryover of last gen, but we're paying more.
Yeah, can't argue there. As someone who just jumped back up to Game Pass Ultimate, I was on Game Pass Core for a while because I was just playing like Fortnite online and you know, after Starfield came out, it was just kind of like, I don't know, do I re-up my subscription? There's not really much on the horizon that I need to play day and date that I won't buy. So I bought a copy of Sea of Thieves so I could still play that because it's not in the Core subscription package, and then went Core for like, what, 3-6 months, something like that, and just kind of went back because I found a sale right before my Core lapsed. So yeah, I can't really argue with anything you said.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add other than I do think PlayStation missed a supreme opportunity in not labeling their tiers silver, gold, and platinum. I just do not understand why they did not do. Like, absolutely. They have the trophies right in front of them. So that was a side note. In terms of the services and features, I mean, I did love Quick Resume again. Now that I'm PC, I don't use it as much, but I did love that because I remember even like, I think to like the PlayStation 3 era when I played Metal Gear Solid 4 for the first time. Phenomenal game, but I remember literally there's like a 20-minute loading screen. Like literally you'd start the game and it'd be like, why don't you go take a quick break and check? And I was like a little floored that like the game was going to take a break. And it wasn't like a mental health or like go touch grass. It was literally like, we're loading. It's going to be a while. And so coming off that era, I do think it was really cool to have the quick resume feature. I definitely love that. The backwards compatibility is cool, but I think what I've realized is I don't play that many old games. Like, I really don't. Mm. And so while it's a nice to have, it's not something that sells me on a system or a service or anything like that. And then Game Pass, I mean, again, this is more my personal belief. It's just before Game Pass existed, I'd easily buy 4, 5, 6 games a year. Like, it's pretty standard in my world because this is my hobby. This is what makes me happy. This is how I relax. And so just the math there, I mean, basically Game Pass is like 2 games a year. And so like, I was just like, I cannot fathom a world where I wouldn't just pay for this to see what's out there. And I think that it also let me explore some other games when I have time in the summer and Christmas break and that kind of stuff. But I do agree with what Mark said. Like, now on the PC side, even though it's still cheaper a little bit, as I'm buying a lot of like Steam sale stuff and I'm playing a lot of like online service games, I do sometimes wonder, like, maybe I should just pause it for like a month. I can always re-add it at any time. I mean, it's not like a cable company or a phone company where I'm locked in for 2 years. But I also think to some degree that I feel weirdly guilty of, like, if I don't support this and it dies, I'm going to be really pissed that I should have just gave them my 15 bucks. So in the end, I don't think there was anything mind blowing, but I do think it's interesting how, like, when this generation started, I mean, on the PlayStation side, a lot of people were real down on Game Pass. They thought it was stupid. It was bad value for companies. And then lo and behold, you know, through the generation, we see PlayStation Plus, and it's not lighting the world on fire, but people do like it, right? And this subscription model does seem to be doing well for both Sony and Microsoft. And I think they're trying to figure out the money piece so that it balances their ledger books, if you will. But in the end, I'm definitely happy we have them on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely different strategies. PlayStation knows they can charge full price for the games, where Xbox has seen where they struggled with their first party. They knew that they probably couldn't command that, but Game Pass was a great way to go. They could support that. So I think Game Pass is a great service. I think it's just the fact that Xbox has struggled to have consistent first party releases every year. They've kind of like, hey, this year's great. Next year's not so great. This year's great. Not so great. So, and we hope that they're over that hump where they'll have more consistent releases because of their studios. So that gets us to the games. So when Xbox is hitting on all cylinders, you got Game Pass, and you're going to get, like, you know, they said a game a quarter is their goal. They could probably have even more of that, because this year you're going to get, hopefully, Call of Duty with Game Pass. Yep. That's what we're thinking. You're going to get Diablo
next week, right?
4 next week, yeah, which is great. So we're going to get more games, and we haven't even got the Activision games fully unleashed yet. So the Spyro games, the Crash games, all weird old Blizzard games that they'll bring out. Like, was it the what's the game with the dwarves that they have? They have that one game that I loved. It was he's almost like a 80s killer. Was it Black Rock or something like that? Blizzard made, where you had a shotgun, you'd kill people at side scrolling. I'll have to look it up. It's a great game. I played it on my PC, but it was also on the SNES. But they'll go back in their catalog and make some of those games. But we get into the games, folks. So this is fun. So I found a list of essentially, as of right now, on March 18th, these are the games that are exclusive to PS5, not on PS4. Can be on PC, because I do this caveat, because most all Xbox games are on PC. So I just said but they aren't on Switch and they aren't on Xbox. Same thing. They're on Xbox, but they're not on PlayStation or Switch. So I looked at, these are the games that you bought your awesome consoles for. So for PS5, Astro's Playroom, which comes with the console, for Spoken, FF16, FF7 Rebirth, Spider-Man 2, Returnal, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, Rise of the Ronin, which is coming out this week, Stellar Blade, which comes out in April, has a release date, Helldivers 2, Ghost of Tsushima, the Director's Cut, which includes the expansion. So that's all. The base game is coming to PC. No, the expanded game is coming to PC, but not yet. So I'll eventually remove this. I will keep it on the game because it's on PC, because it's only there. The Last of Us Part 1 and 2 Remastered, Death Stranding Director's Cut. See, I have to put a lot of Director's Cut. There's a lot of caveats on these. Sackboy: A Big Adventure, Pacific Drive, which is this weird, like, you're driving a station wagon in the apocalypse, but it's only on PlayStation 5. Very weird. Uncharted Legacy of Thieves collection, but that's kind of an interesting mix of games. On Xbox, there's only six. Starfield, Forza Motorsport, which just came out last year, Hellblade 2, which is coming out in May, Flight Simulator, which came out in 2022, I think.
Yeah.
And there's a new one coming out, I think, later this year. Stalker 2, which is coming out in September. That's a timed exclusive. Will eventually go to PlayStation as well. And Warhammer 40,000 Darktide. You look at these games after 4 years and you say, has this generation really lived up? I mean, we've gotten some great like third-party games too, because obviously those third-party games don't appear on last gen either. So, but if you said if next gen is all about the exclusives, I think we're kind of fooling ourselves a little bit. I don't think it really matters unless you really have a game that you have to have on these consoles. And if you own a PC, don't worry. That's where you should be gaming.
And that's, I was going to say, like, I think you're stretching it a little bit with the director's cuts and
that exactly. And that's what I'm saying. That's, you know, that's like exactly
for
right. Mark.
PC, yeah. A lot of this stuff is yeah. over there or coming over there or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think this is the exclusive generation. You know, no. I think again, and Microsoft openly admits that they are fully in on mm-hmm. PC and Xbox day and date. They're fully in on this hits Game Pass. You can play this on your phone if you don't want a console or a PC. Just buy Game Pass Ultimate and stream the damn thing. Like, they don't care anymore where you're playing, and that's really, really showing in their exclusives. And even more so now that they've just announced those, what was it, six games going to PlayStation, like Sea of Thieves and whatever else.
The Switch.
Pentiment. And
yeah, Grounded, right? Like, right. And
Hi-Fi like Rush came just, out tomorrow.
Yeah, Hi-Fi yeah. Rush is, yeah. So like they just straight up don't care. So like if you're buying anything for exclusives, like this ain't the generation for you, you know, like it's just not.
Yeah. I remember when Halo came out on PC. And that was a big deal. It's like, wow. And now when Xbox went all PC, that became like a hmm. And I thought about that at one point. I'm like, oh, maybe I should just get a PC. My PC crapped the bed. That changed my plans. But I do believe eventually we're going to get like a Steam box where it's a Windows-based PC that is only geared as a console, but it has Xbox UI, but also has Steam on it. So if you can get Steam and Xbox Game Pass games on it, I mean, and it's cheap and you can put it next to your TV for like $500 to $600 because, you know, a Steam Deck is essentially that, but it has a screen and it's it runs Linux, but we are getting versions. So I think we're there. And I think Xbox wants to be that way. They want PC to be their heavy hitter box. And they want to have the cloud and other ways to do that. PlayStation, I don't know what they're doing. We've heard they've got some issues with cost. They've killed some games. They don't have the deep pockets that Xbox has to experiment and play some and do some different things that I worry about their future. And then Switch, essentially, as long as Nintendo can keep making exclusives and they can keep finding 5-year-olds to play Fortnite, they're okay. And that's exactly where they're at. So they don't have to even worry about it because they'll always have people that want those games in a cheap and affordable fashion. So I am curious, though, because Xbox has a really good year ahead of it if all those games come out. They've got Avowed. They've got the Indiana Jones game. Yeah. What else am I missing? Because we've got Hellblade and Stalker 2, plus Call of Duty, if that comes out in Game Pass. I mean, yeah. Xbox is geared up for a really good year.
Yeah. I agree with both of you. The only thing I will add to that is that it has been a weird generation because like every generation before it and all of us here in this room right now, like we've grown up generation after generation, you're used to a console launching and at least historically I don't want to speak for YouTube, but like for myself, I was never buying both consoles or all three consoles. It was like this generation I'm going with the 360 and this generation I'm going with the PS4. Like you have to make those conscious choices. And for myself, a lot of that really was dictated by what my friends were getting, because that's really where my happiness is. And like, if all my buddies said, we're going Microsoft so we can play Halo, okay, cool. I'm going to buy an Xbox. If we're all going PlayStation because of God of War, cool. Then we're all going PlayStation. And so, but we're all used to this experience where when the console launches, you usually get, I don't know, 4 to 8 timed games that are kind of various different genres that like it's your showcase, right? So you're going to get this and you can play it day one. What are you picking up to play first? And we didn't get that with this. I think they kind of wanted to, but I think with like COVID and manufacturing and like the financial piece, like we're learning all this stuff right now about how like expensive like Spider-Man 2 was, $200 million to make, and they made $220 million. That's awesome. But like, from a studio accounting perspective, like that's a lot of work to make $20 million. And you know, that's an insane amount of money, but for a big studio, it's a drop in the bucket. And so I think that they kind of had this, they were all at the beginning of this generation trying to figure out what they were going to do next. And we're now seeing some of that come out. I think the PlayStation, you know, with Jim Ryan leaving, and I don't want to put it all on him. PlayStation's a huge company. There are lots of people that make decisions, but like he was very much, it seems like in that, let's go live service, and that's where we're going to put all our ducats. And he's now realizing, like, maybe that wasn't a great idea. And instead, they're kind of not backtracking. They're looking at PC. They're looking at putting their games in other places because that's kind of what Xbox has been doing. And while it's not hit every time, they're seeing a lot of growth with it. Like the Hi-Fi Rush and Sea of Thieves on Switch has been great. The PC stuff has been growing there. And I agree with you, Todd. I think I got to give credit to Joseph Moran on the Trophy Room. We had him on our show like a year ago, and he said, quote unquote, like, it's not about the box, guys. Like, I know that because he's a PlayStation show, we're an Xbox show, and like you'd think that we just like talk trash, and we do playfully like on Twitter and stuff. But like at the end of the day, he sees it. We see it that like by the time my children are in like high school and college, I don't even know if we'll have consoles. Like Todd said, maybe we'll have a Steam Box. Like, I really think we're going to get to the point where like TVs will have a built-in chip that you just pair a controller and you're streaming your games. You just have to pay for the Netflix-esque subscription. I can see that now. It's not there yet. Like, we still have some technical hurdles we have to get over, bandwidth caps. Like, there are a lot of issues that they're going to have to work through, but it's closer than it's ever been. And I, when you see this list for people that watch the show, or if you see Todd's notes, like it looks obviously like PlayStation is dominating this generation. And I think they have put out some great games. No joke, but I think that this generation is far from over. And I don't know if we'll even be talking about generations, quote unquote, anymore after like 5 years. Yeah. It's just going to be a very interesting future overall. And I'm here for it. I'm excited, but it's very disruptive in a way that we're just not used to in our experience.
Yeah. You brought up a very good point of why you choose generations in the past, you know, why you choose why you choose consoles per, you know, each generation in the past. And it's either been that exclusives or what your friends are playing or where your friends are playing and that kind of stuff. And this was the first generation that I didn't care what my friends were doing or where my friends were playing because of games like Fortnite, where it didn't matter if they were on a Switch, a PlayStation 4, a PlayStation 5, an Xbox, whatever, PC. I play with people from all across there, and most of my multiplayer gaming time is on Fortnite.
Phones now, right? And Warzone, what, right. 2 weeks goes to mobile too, right?
Yeah.
Crossplay, Discord. It's kind of.
This generation, no joke, I've talked about it on the show before, was largely determined for me by my hatred of the PlayStation controller. I tried the PlayStation 4.
It's still a lot there, yeah.
I tried the PlayStation 4. I hate the two sticks at the bottom. Just the Xbox controller is better in every single way, minus maybe the whatever you call those little funny
triggers.
The haptic triggers and that shit.
Man, you guys are so lame. Logan has no problem shipping. I have no problem shipping. I'm like, I don't know why people have such a difficult time I play both, and I'm like, it's difficult. Exactly the same
I
just to me.
Prefer one. It's not. You know, I'm not like, oh no, what do I do? The sticks on the. I'm not like, you know, it's not a difficulty. It's a one's clearly better, and the other is garbage, kind of thing.
I mean, I'd be lying, Mark. I have my Elite right here. I'm an Xbox controller all the way, man. Like, this is my favorite controller. But I also, like Todd, I don't hate the DualSense. I don't talk about it.
We all know the Stadia controller is the best controller ever.
That is clearly the one. That is right up there with the Wii U Pro controller. Perfect stuff. But no joke, like I actually do prefer the Xbox controller and was just like, you know what? If I'm going to be playing Fortnite with my friends, I want, you know, Xbox. I love the Gears of War series. I eventually had all the consoles last generation. I started off with like, you know, the Wii U, PS4, and eventually got my Xbox One. And fell in love with like Sea of Thieves and the Gears franchise again and all that kind of stuff. And then was just like, oh, these controllers are so much better. And that was a big determining factor in like, if I'm going to be playing Fortnite, I'm going to be playing with a controller that I find comfortable and a little bit quicker to respond or whatever to how I like to play. And that was a weird realization this time around. That was a weird thing of like, maybe this is like the future of like, this could be a dongle. Give me the controller that I want and just let me play what I want, where I want. Like bringing it back to Todd's point, like just let me choose a controller and then just pair it with my TV or whatever. Like I'm good to go.
Yeah. Apple on their devices allows you to do a Bluetooth controller. You can do DualSense or Xbox, maybe even a Switch controller. PC, same thing there. I can on Steam, I can use either. They have profiles for it, and now they're supporting the DualSense features on PC. So that's what I'm saying. It's like ultimately, we shouldn't let like two sticks in their area be like, it's the end all be all. I'm spending $1,000 on that because we're the sticks lay. It's just kind of, and people heard us say that, and they're like, seriously, you guys are nerds.
You guys are crazy.
Yep, we are. Yep, that's what it's all about. Yeah.
I was hoping to get some Discord comments from that one.
Yeah, and I would be surprised if future generations said, why do you need a console? Why? Yeah. And I think that's where we're headed. Because I
like
think
my grandkids one day will be like, why did you buy consoles? And be like, okay, have a seat. Story time.
It's like I have to buy a DVD player to watch certain movies, like HD DVD versus Blu-ray. It's like, what is even going on? It's kind of silly.
Grandpa Todd's acting up again.
Exactly.
Let me tell you about the Zune, kids.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Oh, my God. I could tell you about the old Android phones that didn't even support Google Maps. T-Mobile Click, anyone? Yeah. Good times. And I think this is where, you know, and I just one thing I wanted to hit on because we are getting, you know, talks about a PlayStation 5 Pro. And it is interesting because I think the console players are kind of, in a way, we're so fixated on what we've been doing over time versus like what technology is doing, where every year Apple has a new phone. Every year Google has a new phone. And no one like, oh, we shouldn't have one. The same phone we had in 2020 should last us until 2028. Nobody shames or gets mad because the apps still work on those old phones. They still play. But you realize getting the newer phone, it'll feel a little snappier. It'll do maybe a little extra things,
new
but
features,
you can still play those old games. PlayStation 4 didn't suffer because of PS4. Xbox One didn't suffer from Xbox One X. So I always think it's funny when people get mad about it. I'm like, but don't people upgrade their tech in other areas? And if as long as it doesn't hurt the old tech, is it just people just being mad and being the old man shaking his head in the cloud? Because I'm dumb. I like things that play better. If I can get 60 frames per second 4K on a better box that comes out 4 years after I bought my original box and I want to pay for it, why shouldn't I be able to do that? Yeah. It's weird. Would people have wanted the Switch Pro? Yes, they did want the Switch Pro, but they got an OLED screen instead.
And people bought it because it's nicer.
I did too.
Nicer, yeah, that's the right answer.
Yeah, I bought mine. I bought mine, and it's right here. And yeah, so I don't know anything because I mean we could go on this forever. So at this point, any parting words on this generation? I mean, I've heard rumors. Do you think where do you think this generation is going? Do you think anybody's going to pivot, do something different, or are we going to just repeat what we did last gen with the PS4 and Xbox One? So go ahead, Jose.
I don't know, man. I mean, I would have said, if you'd have asked me this like 3 months ago, that it would be the same. We're going to see a mid-gen refresh, and then in like 3 to 4 years, we're going to see the next console. And I still do think that's probably most likely to happen. Where I get a little bit caught up is like in comments from like Sarah Bond, when she did that thing a couple weeks ago that was like the podcast, and her exact words were like, our next hardware is going to be the biggest technological leap that we've ever seen. That could mean lots of different things, to be fair. You know, I wouldn't expect that we're going to, like, I don't think we're going to see an Xbox handheld that rivals the power of a Series X that has 8 hour battery life. Like, I think that's, I would love that. That's amazing. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think they're basing that probably on like computing power, like teraflops and stuff. But still, I think what we've heard from all of the vendors is that I think consoles are going to still be here for a while. I really do. And I what I always have to tell myself when we talk about these kinds of things is, like, this is my world. Like, we run a podcast that's video game centric. I am on Discord all day, and I read the nerd news, and I play video games every night. Like, this is my world. So I pay attention a lot more. But for the average gamers, like the people who only play like Madden every year, or there are people who play because their kid now wants to play Halo, and I guess I played Halo when I was a kid, let's go buy a system. Like, the average consumers, if either console maker, I guess including Nintendo too, just decided to stop making consoles, people would consider that as them pulling out of the race. And so yeah. I think there's that element of like, you have to remember that there's a bigger world than just us fanatics out there. And so while we may be moving on to PC, and where we can clearly see the path going into this like model where things are streaming and the box doesn't matter and you're playing with the controller you choose on potentially like a TV and stuff, I do think that's the future. But all the companies are going to have to be very careful about how that's marketed and how it works. Because the other part is like, if, let's just say theoretically, Xbox, their next console wasn't that. They said, you know what? We're now just selling a controller. The controller pairs with every TV in North America, and you can stream every game you own. Because even Phil said recently that by the end of this year, we're supposed to be able to stream the games that we own remotely, not just the ones in Game Pass streaming, but like our own library. Awesome. So let's say they go all in on that, but then the servers can't keep up, right? Or something happens and it's basically a flop even for a month. That could kill them. Like, literally people never come back. And so,
or you're sitting in a hotel room with 3 megabytes per second and you're like, yeah, why can't I play my game?
You said I could do this. Why can't I do this? And so I think we're still generations out from that kind of reality, but I do think that they're having to plan for that now. And so that's this weird predicament time of like, we have to keep making consoles so that we stay relevant and we make revenue and we still make games, but we also have to build this like 10-year future, which like in tech world is like, you're basically a crystal ball, right? Like, what's going to happen in 10 years? So I think it's challenging. Again, in the short term, I think we're going to basically get an upgraded box. You know, if the Series X was like, I think it was like 12.9 teraflops when it came out. So, okay, we're going to go to 28, right? So that's the biggest jump that we've ever seen. And that's awesome. That's substantial, but it's not really lighting the world on fire. Like, it means we might finally get ray tracing, and we might finally get, maybe we get an extra slot in our, quick resume or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be significant, but not world changing, I think, is what's going to happen. And then, you know, in a generation from now, I don't know, things could be much more interesting, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the next upgrade is, not having to worry about that slider or button that says performance or quality, you know, that's going to go away. And you can do both at the same time. Cool. You know, like that's great. Until you hit, you know, like right now you have to choose that for 4K. Maybe at 4K you can do both, but at 8K you still have that stupid slider, right? Like, I think that's kind of where we're going. It's these little incremental upgrades for that kind of stuff. I think you're right on. I don't think there's going to be like everything's in 3D and you don't need a TV anymore because it hollow projects in front of you onto your living room without glasses. Like, it's just, you know, like we're not getting that kind of stuff just in that terms of like generational, like insane, like tech advancement kind of thing. So we'll enjoy the nerdy little things, but the games are still going to be the games.
I'm a old school PC fan. The specs will always get higher for games. The games will always get more demanding. So, Mark, to your point, I think you'll still have, like, I think we may even get more PC specific where you have more sliders, depending on what you want. Because the floor is only going to, you know, going to raise the floor. The bar is going to be raised high. So what I'm hoping is we don't have to be at, like, we're still doing 1080 anymore. But you could say, like, I always want to be at 4K, 30 or 60 or whatever. I think that's going to never change because, you know, PC struggled with that. They want to get 1440 to do 350 frames per second. A lot of people, I'd rather screw resolution and go 400 frames per second. I don't know if that's even possible, but that's what they want. I think as I look at this generation, I think Sony's going to play the same game unless something drastically changed where they'll have a new system out in 2028. I think what would benefit Xbox is to do what they did with the 360 era, is jump out ahead. Launch not at the same time as Sony and have everybody be offset again.
They should have done that 10 years ago. Like, Nintendo, give it a 3-year offset.
Exactly. Nintendo always goes offset. Why does it matter if the worst thing you can do is put Sony and PlayStation next to each other or Sony and Xbox next to each other because they are so similar now that there's not enough differentiators in their tech because now they're both essentially PCs. It doesn't make any sense. Have them filtered so then you can say, okay, well, I'll still play my PlayStation exclusives, but the third parties will shine on Xbox. So I'm going to play there. Like Madden,
it doesn't always
everything.
Work, though. You look at Dreamcast, and it's like, everyone saw what the Dreamcast was doing. It's like, screw it.
Sega was a bad, but Sega was a company, you know, on its last
leg. There's that precedent that's like, I don't know, man. PlayStation's coming out with some crazy shit in a year. I'm going to wait. Or, you know, like, or vice versa. It's like you always, you play that like waiting game. It's like, something better's coming along.
But Xbox 360, you saw how the tables turned.
Right.
And like, Gears of War, this game. Oh, and I think that's a differentiator. But if we keep doing this, like everybody launches at the same time, you're splitting the same audience essentially. And it's, you're talking about split sticks. Whereas Nintendo said, so what I would love to see Nintendo say, hey, you want your games on a handheld? Port them to our system. Hey, if you want awesome looking Nintendo games, somebody else is going to make a box that can put out Nintendo games. That's what an ideal state would be. Handheld Nintendo owns the handheld world, and all the games go to handheld. If you want to see them at the highest resolution on a big box, 8K, you know, you're not held back by the tech, and you can play you can put a Nintendo controller on another system. That's where they go. That's what I would ideal state would be. But it's never going to happen, but that's what I would love because, you know, I hate that Nintendo's games are always held back by hardware, the cost and things like that because we've seen other things. And I hate the fact that Nintendo feels like they don't want to play ball. I just would love it. I would love everybody to be on where they want to be unless Nintendo does something so weird and strange. I just don't know what weird thing they can bring in that'll be like, it's so awesome. I could never do that anywhere else. So I don't know, but we'll see what happens. But it's going to cost us a lot of money, gentlemen. That's all I'll say.
Start saving now.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. Yeah. Who thought a PS5 Pro would launch before the Switch 2? That's a weird world, guys. We're in a strange world. Okay, well, that is it for this week's show. Hopefully you enjoyed the journey. I appreciate everyone who stuck with us. But at this point, Jose, thank you so much for joining us. Tell people where they can find you.
You can find me lots of places. Chipotle Bear is most of the time where it's at, except on Twitter/X. It's Chipotle_Bear because Chipotle Bear was taken. You can also find me every week. We record on and stream on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. Mountain Standard Time, the Nerd Chat. Check us out on YouTube and, of course, any podcast service. But for you two gentlemen, thank you so much for having me. Truly, like, it's been a pleasure hanging out with you guys, talking about nostalgia and the future of games. And absolutely love the show, all the shows that you guys do. If this is the first time you're hearing me here, you know, make sure to give these guys a follow, sub to them on Patreon. Like, this is great content, man. This is like the video game space can be a very toxic space, especially on social media. And so it's really wonderful to find like nice, genuine, reasonable people, which of course you two are. So thank you for having me here. And, you know, if you guys ever want to come on Nerd Chat, you're always welcome here as well.
Sweet.
I think that's the kindest kind of statement I would say. We're reasonable and we aren't crazy. I like that.
I like it.
Yeah. Mark has never called me reasonable or not crazy, so I appreciate it.
I've known you for a while.
It's implied.
That's true. Well, Jose,
I love you.
Yes, we love each other. Jose, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. You're a gentleman. You're an educator. Much respect to you and raising your kids right. So appreciate you. And check out everything that Jose does. We'll put all of the ways you can connect with him in the notes of the podcast. So Mark, where can people follow you?
You can find me at Kenerdian_gamer or Kenerdian_Jedi, depending on which faction of my interests you want. But most people listening to this one, I think, will be Kenerdian_gamer. Jose, I just followed you on both accounts. So there we go, on Instagram, because that's my main place of choice. But you can also find me over on TikTok and, of course, in the Secret Friends Unite Discord group.
Very, very good. I'm confused with Mark. I think, I find you wherever you're wearing a Tyrannosaurus Rex costume and holding a lightsaber, pretty much. For myself, I'm on Threads at Teoxtra, at Secret Friends Unite, also still on Twitter, just to stay there, for representation there, at Teoxtra and at Secret Friends U. Please check us out and also our Discord and also our Patreon. Appreciate it so much. So with that, gentlemen, thank you so much. And remember, it's always better to game together.
This podcast is part of the Secret Friends Unite podcasting network. Visit secretfriendsunite.com for more great shows, articles, news, reviews, and more. Secret Friends Unite podcasts are available on Apple, Google, Spotify, and other podcast services around the world. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, you can join us on Facebook or our new Discord server, or follow at Secret Friends U on Twitter. Please subscribe to Secret Friends Unite on YouTube and visit our merch store at tpublic.com. Just search Secret Friends Unite. Thanks for listening.